This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Generation Next podcast. For more of Joy 94.9's podcasts, jump onto joy.org.au and head to the programs tab and download the latest podcast.
It is 4 minutes past four. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Tonight you're joined by Dylan. Caitlin is on her way. The poor duck is running late into the studios tonight. But in the meantime, you and I, we can hang out and chill for a bit. I don't mind. I don't think Caitlin will be too jelly just yet. Send me a text and let me know how your weekend's going. And if we're saying anything that you'd like to add your commentary on, feel free to hit me up. My phone number, 0427-JOY-949. Or you can hit me up on Twitter with the @GNJOY949 handle. If you're a little bit old school, you can call front desk on 1300-JOY949, or you can even shoot me an email on onair@joy.org.au and let me know your input. On tonight's show, I have the very hunky Matt Renwick, the president of Pride March Victoria, talking about the Great Australian Bake Off happening this weekend. I also sat down and had a chat with Nabuli, who is a young lesbian girl who also comes from a faith background. And she talks about her reconciliation of sexuality and faith. If you also feel like you've got anything that you can add to the discourse, feel free to hit me up at any point throughout tonight's show, 0427-JOY-949. Or shoot me an email on onair@joy.org.au. It's really important that you guys hit me up and let me know. I think we can... have a good chat tonight. Also, speaking of things happening tonight, on Bent TV, we will be... I sat down and had a chat with a bunch of youths who live out in rural areas, like, for example, Shepparton. Shepparton was definitely there. And the Ballarat area. And they discuss their lives as young, rural, young gay people. And for the most part, they didn't exactly come out saying that they felt included or... involved in anything. In fact, they all seem to share the same belief that they did feel alone and they did feel like that they weren't included. This is something that happens to a lot of people, and for a lot of young queers that I've met while being at Joy 94.9, I definitely have. It seems to be a general theme that being out in the country, it's you feel like you have to put on a mask to be able to get by and get throughout your day, and then when they come to a place like Melbourne or even Sydney, where queer identity and queer culture is so commonplace, then that's when they feel like they can really become themselves. Let me know if you share the same ideals, if you've come from the country and what the differences you found. Send me a text, 0427-JOY-949. I know when I came from Queensland and came from the Gold Coast, and when I moved to Melbourne, there was a bit of a difference. Now, one thing that I had trouble with, I guess, the queer community was the catty jokes, which we kind of use it like terms of endearment and you know, just making fun of each other, pointing out little faults. Where I'm from in Queensland, when you make a little personal digs on people, you're trying to say that, you know, you're trying to put them down, which I actually had to learn how to retrain myself to saying, oh no, that is them having fun. Because prior to that, I was like, oh my God, I really want to hurt you, friend. And that's all I could really get past. And I couldn't put my mind anywhere else. But now I know. Now I know better. So I feel like I'm growing, becoming an adult even. Yeah, yeah. make sure that you do keep these texts coming through tonight. Gets a little bit lonely in the studio while I'm waiting for Caitlin to cruise in. Send me a text 0427JOY949. I do have a bit of an eclectic mix coming up on the playlist. I've got everything from Aussie indie to a hardcore cover for of Britney Spears' Till the World Ends, which is coming up a little bit later on. It's a really cool track. And actually, because I'm not really a Britney fan, but with this hardcore cover, I actually was like, wow, I think I can get the Britney vibe. I think I definitely can get in there. There's something about the lyrics and those cheesy bubblegum pop lines that really make me, smile on my Wednesday evening. Also coming up later on in the news, we'll be discussing Chris Brown's latest tweet supporting LGBTI rights, which was a bit of an interesting one from Brown. In Geelong, there was also the police being criticised for dismissing gay sexual assault victims, and this sounds a bit of an oxymoron. The pro-gay candidate from the Catters Party, he talks about his time at the party and the bigot vote. All that and more coming up later on. Welcome to a Generation Next podcast. For more Joy 94.9 podcasts, jump onto joy.org.au and head to the programs tab and download the latest podcast. Generation Next on Joy 94.9. It is 13 minutes past 7. You're listening to Dylan, and look, now I'm sitting down with the president of Pride March Victoria, Matt Renwick. How are you, Matt?
I'm not too bad, Dylan. Yourself?
I am not too bad either. Thank you so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
And you're here joining me because this Saturday at DT's, there's a major fundraiser.
Absolutely.
And this is supporting Pride March Victoria, Celebrate the LGBTI Community. Pride March Victoria has been operating for almost 20 years mm-hmm. now. You obviously haven't been there from day one.
No, I was a little bit too young to be involved.
How long have you been a part of the organisation?
Well, next year will be our 19th Pride March. I would be about 7 of those. So
7?
Yeah. So volunteered for a couple and then joined the board after that. Was VP last year, secretary the year before. So, yeah, basically I think I will be committed at the end of my reign.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
Well, you definitely have got the dedication card down 100% there. Like, you've climbed the ladder pretty successfully.
I wouldn't know about successfully. I've climbed the ladder.
Oh, take the compliment.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yes, climbed the ladder beautifully.
They're rarely afforded here on Gen Next. Now, what does, I guess, for yourself, being part of Pride March Victoria, it has a big context to itself. What does Pride mean to yourself?
I suppose I was one of the lucky generations that I didn't have to do a lot of the pushing. A lot of the hard work had been done before me. Still a lot of hard work to do, but most of the work had been done. So for me, it's personally more about a celebration of who we are as a community, and that is an extremely diverse community. I can't think of any other community that, for that one day, walks down made up of all the rainbow.
Yeah.
And there's no problems. They just have fun. They have pride. And that, to me, it's primarily celebration, but it's also, I think, a time to commemorate those people that have gone before us and have allowed us the opportunity to be able to march down Fitzroy Street. And it almost just become, you know, mainstream.
Yeah.
And that's the great part of it.
This year, this is my first year actually marching in the Pride March with Joy, and it really does give you that that feel that we all band together. There's so much consolidation, so much unity.
Absolutely.
That's involved. It's insane. Like, people are cheering, they're smiling. No one has a sour face at all.
Absolutely. I think the weather helped this year as well, but you get the people from the greater St. Kilda area that they come down and they just watch and cheer you on as you walk down the street, which is a fantastic when you do march down there. Because we don't have barriers like Mardi Gras or anything like that, you are pretty much within the crowd as well. So it's quite a good good day to have.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And the weather this year was phenomenal. Yep. Now, what can you tell us about the fundraiser that's happening at DT's this weekend?
Yep. The Great Aussie Bake Off has been going for about 17 odd years. It's our annual fundraiser. Essentially, it's about cooking a cake. We then judge the cakes, so there's prizes to be won for that. But it also means that we auction off the cakes, and that's the main fundraiser that we have. So last year, I think the Vic Police won. It got about $750 odd or something.
And that was the cake that had the little helicopter.
The little helicopter on. Yep, it's on all our advertising this year. It was an amazing cake. It was one of probably about 35 cakes, biscuits that we had, and we ended up raising over $13,500 in one afternoon. So just amazing.
Wow. Now, have you seen any of the other entrance cakes that they're preparing so far? Any ideas in motion?
Only ideas in motion. Generally, what happens is everyone turns up on the day, and that's the surprise. Registration happens on the day as well. So basically, the minute people turn up, they just tell us that I've got something in mind, and the Victorian Police have said that they've got a great entry for this year, so maybe they'll do back-to-back wins. I don't know. But yeah, basically turn up on Saturday, about 2:30, and register your cake. It costs $10 to enter, so that also further increases the funds for Pride March 14.
And all the funds that that you'll be raising for the Bake Off and all the donations, that this is going to be in part of what makes Pride March Victoria so, like, how it goes, like, flawlessly.
Absolutely. I would never say flawlessly. There's a lot of heart attacks along the way. But it gives us a huge bang for our buck as we sort of go in. We've got proud supporters like the City of Port Phillip that obviously kick a lot of money in. But this is where our community can donate and give money. It's not too much. We don't ask any of our groups to actually pay to march in Pride March. So all up, we cut costs back ridiculously last year, and it still cost us about $80,000 just to run the day.
$80,000.
Yep.
For the day.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Things like public liability insurance, that's almost like $5,500, which is for 2 hours of marching. There's toilets, there's food vans, all that kind of stuff.
All the things that you really wouldn't think about, but they all come into effect.
Absolutely. So that's why Bake Off is so important. It gives an opportunity to give as much money to us as possible. Obviously, we sort of have got sponsors as well, but it just gives our community a bit more ownership over what will happen in February.
Hey, just a quick question, totally unrelated to the cake off, but did they ever find out who took the flag from this year's Pride March? Do they ever find the missing flag?
Look, we need to go on Crime Stoppers or what's that one on Channel 10 with the hot news reader? The answer to that is no. So, yeah, if you know, Crime Stoppers,
the
000.
The flag is still missing, people. We need to know what's going on. Send us a text, 0427-JOIN-949. Now, you said before that people don't actually have to register prior. They just have to do it there at the day.
Basically, on the day, turn up. We've got our little stand there. You fill out your form and basically register on the day. Give us your $10. Bang, it's as simple as that. Whereas to march in Pride March, you have to actually register, and that will be opening this Saturday at Bake Off as well. So you can get into the early bird mode and fill out your registration form to march for 2014.
Do people have to bake the cakes there and there at DT's? Or
no, no, no. Just bring the cakes along.
You could bring in a whole MasterChef kind of vibe in there. You could really, like, hassle people. The time is ticking.
We could. I don't think Bruce's kitchen's big enough, though, and he uses it as a storeroom. No, bake all your cakes beforehand, basically it's a case of a lot of people get up quite early and bake them on the day, or bake them the day before. So, please don't go into Bruce's kitchen.
So I'd just like to know, is still in the same MasterChef kind of vibe, do you already know who's going to win, or do you?
No, it's not got up at all. It's basically on the day between, say, 3:30 and 4:30. We've got two very good judges, Kane Lillywhite, who obviously from My Kitchen Rules, and I think he's done the last 3 years of Bake Off. He'll be one of our judges. As will Miss Polly Filler, who brings a touch of the Stepford Wife to our baking competition.
Very nice. Now, look, I'd like to know, because I'm trying to discover type 3 diabetes.
Yep.
Can you try the cakes?
We've got little tasting plates, so we encourage the people, have your normal cake, and that's what you'll be judged on. But always bring in just a little tasting plate, just so that, obviously, if you want to have a diabetic coma, which would be greatly entertaining, we can do that at the same time.
Fantastic. And look, just to recap, where is this happening?
It's happening at DT's Hotel, Church Street in Richmond, from 2:30 p.m. So get down there early so that you can get your cake registered. The auction happens from 4:30. 30. And if you've got any further queries, go to our website, or you can email me directly, president@pridemarch.com.au.
Beautiful. Matt, thank you so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
And
thank you for having me.
Now, look, I'm not too sure if you're a bit of a hardcore fan. You don't really quite strike me as a hardcore fan. but I've got... are you a fan of Britney Spears?
In the day, yes.
In the day?
I can remember a trip to America in 99, and that's when she was doing Baby One More Time. And it was on MTV. And by the time I got home... Yep, she was here as well. She'd infected us all.
Nice, nice. Well, here's Till the World Ends. This is covered by the hardcore band IC Stars. So, you know, I hope you enjoy it.
I'll sit back and relax.
For more of Jill and myself, get onto the Generation Next page on joy.org.au/Generation Next and listen to all of our podcasts.
Hi, this is Marsha Hines, and you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
Coming up, Dylan has a chat with Nabuli, talking about reconciling her faith as a Seventh-day Adventist.
Joy.
I am sitting with an amazing young lady named Nabuli. Now, Nabuli, you have an amazing story to tell. Can I just start off with that? What was life like growing up for you?
Well, we always moved around a lot. My parents are both local pharmacists, so grew up in small country towns generally. My whole life I've been raised a Seventh-day Adventist, so a little bit about that religion is pretty much almost close to Judaism in its practices, but it's a Christian faith, so keeping the Sabbath every Friday night to sunset, Saturday the next day. Yeah, so just grew up with my siblings. Yeah.
Yep. And when did you first know that you were same-sex attracted?
I don't know. You've got the cliche, like I think I always knew, but definitely I would say, you know, when all of my friends in high school are getting like excited about boys, that sort of thing. And I was so indifferent to it. But for the longest time, I just thought I didn't really, you know, care, or it would kick in later on. But I think it wasn't till I went to university and I moved on campus at college that I really knew, like, I just, you know, it wasn't for me.
Yeah, it all just kind of clicked.
Clicked, yeah.
Now, you said before you come from a family of faith, and that faith being Seventh-day Adventist. Mm-hmm. What does your religion and faith mean to you?
Now, it's really conflicting because, I mean, it's not like I don't believe in any of it, because I do. Like, I definitely believe in the Bible. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. But obviously, coming from such a devout, strict religion, they don't mix their words when it comes to same-sex marriage or even same-sex practices. So it's really conflicting because on one hand, I've been brought up always believing that it was a sin, and on the other hand, I cannot help the way I feel at all, nor would I ever choose to, like, you know, growing up now, always, you know, I don't have a problem with being gay at all, but it is very conflicting, and it's not something I think I've fully come to terms with completely. So I've still got these mixed feelings. And
are you still in the process of reconciling sexuality with faith?
I've just, for whatever reason, I've just went, when I came out completely and I was completely fine with it, and I told my friends and I come out to my family, it was just something that I've kind of segmented in my brain, where like I have religion in one corner and then I've got my sexuality in another. So it's not something that I've tried to really reconcile so much, but I'm sure, you know, as I get older and, you know, if or when I want to go back to practicing the faith, that's something I would definitely have to deal with and, you know, come to terms with at some point.
Yeah. So how long have you been not practicing your faith?
It's such a full-on religion. It's not something that you can kind of half do. Like, it's keeping the Sabbath every week, not eating pork, obviously, the way you live, alcohol, all that comes into it. It's like an everyday sort of thing. So I would say fully, like, not going to church, just fully not going to church.
So it's one of the four major C's, the cross, mm-hmm. Christ, the commandments, and church.
Exactly. So I would always say, like, even a year ago, if you'd asked me the same question, I would have said I'm a Seventh-day Adventist if you ask me what religion I am. But now it's more of, you know, I don't really know. So I would say fully I stopped with the religion thing a year ago after I told my mum, I would say. Yeah.
You mentioned before that you came out to friends and family members. Have you come out to your entire family?
Well, I have, like, my immediate family, yes. Like, I'm from South Africa, so I've got heaps of extended family there. But growing up in Australia, it's really just me, my mum, and my brother, my older brother, my younger brother and sister. So they all know. So as far as my immediate family, yeah, they all they all know.
And how was it received when you came out to them?
It was so different for everyone. I mean, my older brother, he kind of strayed away from the faith as well, but he's come back. He's much older than me. He's 32. So he's got two kids now. He goes every week to church. So for him, being younger and being brought up in Australia, it was so different to my mum's reaction. Whereas for, like, you know, for him, it was more, I love you no matter what. You're my sister. I know you didn't choose this. It's not too much of a shock. Like, I knew you growing up. Whereas for my mom, it was very religious based. Like, she didn't, like, she wasn't ever mean. She didn't ever say anything awful, but it was very, you know what our religion says about this, rather than how I was feeling in that sense. So different emotions. And then my two younger siblings, they didn't, yeah. Don't really care at all.
Well, that's lovely. And was it stressful or traumatic when you had a pushback from your mother, or was it a bit of a shock and then things went back to where they were?
In my head at the time, I perceived it that she was super, like, annoyed with me and didn't want to have anything to do with it, which is kind of how I feel now. Like, she was never mad. Like, she called me every week. Nothing changed. And I think that was kind of a shock for me. Like, I thought something would change and nothing changed, which was good and bad in the way that we just don't talk about it. It's just something we do not talk about.
Yeah.
So she knows she hasn't treated me any differently, but in a way that's not great at the same time as well. It's just something that she's pushed under the rug and decided not to talk about or bring up.
I don't come from a Seventh-day Adventist faith or religion myself. Can you just tell me any misconceptions that you think people have about the faith?
I think a lot of misconceptions are, like, not many people know about the religion to begin with. And because Seventh-day Adventists, they don't really mix with the community too much. So you've got, like, they will generally all live together in a certain town. They all go to the same church. They don't really mix in with their coworkers because they don't drink. So I wouldn't say there's too many misconceptions about the faith. I think there's not much known about it to begin with for even misconceptions to come up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Now, look, someone may be listening to this talk right now, Nabuli.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be in the exact same situation or a similar situation that you're in. What advice would you give to them?
For me, coming out, that was one of my biggest things. It wasn't so much what my friends would think about me, or even to an extent what my family would think about me so much. It was just the religion aspect of it, because I was so conflicted and so confused. Like, on the one hand, I knew everything and what the Bible meant and what, like, its views were on same-sex lifestyle. And then on the other hand, you know, you can't help at all the feelings that you have or even try and change them. And I think that the more you try to do that, the sicker you're going to, like, become, like, just more upset, anxiety, depression. I think that's where a lot of that comes from, especially within youth in the gay community. You can't help what you can't change, and there's nothing to be ashamed of at all. And I've always thought about it. I've always grown up knowing if God loves me and he accepts everyone, it's not, you know, everyone except for the gays. It's everyone. So at the moment now, I know that he would want me to be happy with me. So the only way that I can do that and be healthy is to be a lesbian woman and not worry about it or think too much about whether he's going to hate me or not, because it says it black and white in the Bible, God loves you. So if anyone is in the same situation, I give them the same advice.
Beautiful. Well, Nabuli, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. We've got more Generation Next coming up right after this. Thank you for listening to this Joy podcast. Generation Next is a show for LGBTI youth, and you can connect with us online anytime. Look us up on Facebook and Twitter today.
Generation Next. Love it.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside. It's gay school.
That's right, it is time for our LGBTI news from the youth's perspective.
Well, Dylan Adler, apparently Chris Brown tweeted about the GLBTI community. Now, previously, Chris has been an opponent of the GLBTI community. He has not been supportive of gay rights. He's actually been even referred to as homophobic. But he's tweeted recently in support of equality this week, reporting gay rights organisation AllOut.org and asking his fans to sign a petition to protect the GLBTI people in, is it Cameron?
Cameroon.
Yeah. The petition's aim is to put more international pressure on the countries to stop the rise of anti-gay violence.
Which is a bit of a turnaround for Brown, because earlier in the year he was reported chasing out Frank Ocean from a studio where they were doing a collaboration on a song, screaming out faggot, and he's also used homophobic slurs several times on Twitter. But with his tweet the other day, said, "Love is not a crime, gay or straight. Love who you want to love. Stop the hate and sign here."
Like I said to you, Dil, I think it sounds like he's grown up. You know, we both said that he began in his career in the music industry when he was 16, and that people changed. They grew up. He was a baby. You know, perhaps his views have changed.
Well, perhaps, and it'd be a step in the right direction. However, is this... He may have grown, and I think definitely after...
Well, Rihanna is actually openly bisexual. Did you know that?
Yeah, and that's one thing that I think it's weird for, and more so annoying for people like Brown who come along and they say, oh, homophobic, but then they definitely get down, and especially with the misogynistic parts of the rap and hip-hop scene, where it's like lesbians are fine because it's a lesbian.
Well, it's alluring and it's sort of seductive. Exactly. It's seen more in that kind of way. Whereas, well, I was surprised when you said Frank Ocean's actually bisexual.
Yeah, I was actually dev since I wasn't his first love.
I had no idea. I'm obsessed with his music. You'd never pick it. But then again, that's me coming through with judgments, which should never be made about people.
Well, I suppose it's a bit of a preconceived notion. And that's one thing that I guess Ocean spoke about when he did say that his first love was in a same-sex relationship.
Did he say when, what age he was?
19.
Oh my God, wow.
And
was he in the music biz and really kind of selling already at that point?
He's still quite young.
Wow, yeah.
Well, it was, he came out and said it this year as a way after Macklemore's Same Love came out. So,
because Frank is like, what, 25, 24?
Yeah, I think so, 25.
Yeah. I remember seeing that thinking, I'm 26 and I felt so depressed because he's obviously just done so much with his life and been so successful so young. Well, Rihanna has a girlfriend that I don't know what the word is, toys with or dates, and that she's been really open and come out with it, and you see them holding hands coming out of restaurants from time to time. I suppose when Chris is off the scene, she might deviate. But yeah, I'm really happy to see that Chris Brown's come through with this because I think he's a really talented musician. I love his music and it'd be great to see with so much. I think you have a lot of power and you're in a position like that. And if he can use his rights for good and his authority and power for good, that'd be great with the GLBTI people.
Absolutely. And I think it's a marvel when people do move along in their persuasions and their views. Hey, stick around because we've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
Weekdays on Joy 94.9. Sharing your passions.
If you think Vic and Caitlin would make a great pair, text into Joy 0427. Better yet, just download the podcast for Generation Next.
A little less straight than other radio stations. Joy 94.9.
16 minutes to wait. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Dylan and Caitlin. We're smack bang in the middle of gay school. And if we're saying anything in any of these articles and you want to pipe in your comments, feel free. Hit us up on 0427 Joy 949 or even give front desk a call on 1300 Joy 949 because we love hearing from you. One article that I was reading today, the pro-gay candidate claims the Katter's party failed the bigot vote. This comes from the pro-marriage equality candidate who contested the Senate at last month's federal election for the Katter's Australian Party, has laid the blame for the party's worse-than-expected performance at the polls on its attempt to court both the bigot vote as well as the more progressive voters. This came from Stephen Bailey, a 30-year-old Canberra-based composer and theatre director, was the ACT Senate candidate for the Katter Australian Party at the September 7 ballot. He was speaking to Fairfax Media last week, saying the party's demise occurs because it tried and failed to juggle both the conservative and the liberal perspectives, meaning that a lot of the social conservatives ended up voting for parties such as Rise Up Australia. You might remember some of the negative comments from the Katter Australian Party from Queensland elections where they were saying that Campbell Newman supported gay marriage. Do you want to vote for this person who supports something that abhorrent?
And the culture in Queensland is notoriously homophobic.
It is.
Aren't they? And they also recently, remember with the Rapid AIDS Clinic, I don't know if they call it that up there, but there was that the medical facility that was only in one specific area of Brisbane and available to gay people. And that even closed down, didn't it, in the last 6 months?
Yeah, the public funding was cut for the rapid HIV testing clinics in
It hasn't officially closed down, but yeah, they've been really limited, like the GLBTI community up there have been. So, I mean, this really doesn't come as a surprise.
And yeah, and Bob Catter, his party tried, like, there were a lot of out-and-out homophobic and also misogynistic views that are single-parent families are some of the worst things that we could possibly have. It's just a really, definitely a party that raised a few eyebrows.
Well, it's concerning when people are in a position of power and they're kind of leading our nation forward, and we've got future generations obviously coming up relying on their direction, projecting such strong views that are so homophobic. It's just not fair on the kids coming through.
Well, people may remember Bailey from some of his other comments that he made, and he is the pro-marriage equality candidate for the Australian Catter Party. But he came out saying, "I love my gay friends and I love my redneck friends," which I guess was open to a bit of interpretation.
But you know what? He's entitled to love both and he's entitled to acknowledge that. But obviously, at the same token, you have to acknowledge the conflict between both, the gay community and the redneck community. So if you love both, it's like, well, in politics, who do you value? Whose opinion are you going to support?
Exactly.
It's all well and fair to have a friends that you mutually love that have nothing in common, perhaps themselves. But when you're in politics, you've really got to make a clear stance on what you support politically.
Yeah, absolutely. It needs to be very concise.
Obviously. Yeah, it needs to be consistent as well. So it's all, yeah, I mean, it's like... Tony Abbott, he's got a sister that's gay and a very dear friend that's gay as well. She's the head of the Australian
Army.
And I mean, that's still politically, he's consistent with his opinion on gay rights, which is opposing of what probably they would prefer. So, I mean, all we ask is to be consistent, but obviously we also want forward thinking people supportive of the GLBTI community, but kind of everything in Australia at the moment.
That is true. We definitely can't have our cake and eat it just yet.
not till Christmas comes.
Now, in Geelong, we've had some news that the police in Geelong have been criticised for dismissing a gay sexual assault. This came under the Geelong police came under fire for their handling of a reported sexual assault of a gay man who used a public toilet in an area that's been known as a beat. The young man who grew up in Geelong was violently assaulted in a public toilet in Johnston Park. This is only 250 metres away from Geelong Police Station. The young man left the scene immediately to report the incident, but when he went to the police station, he was told to call 000 for police to be dispatched as they couldn't leave the building.
You know what? The way it's reported does seem ridiculous. The story sounds like, why? You know, you've got cops in front of you. Why can't they action the urgency of the situation? But perhaps ethically, they actually legally couldn't leave the premises while they're on duty. And maybe that was the protocol, like the process. You actually need to make a call. We need to then get relief and have it sent out, and that's all kind of approved. I'm not sure, but I don't understand. If he was attacked and he actually arrived in a police station, then surely that's a safe haven for him. He's arrived.
Absolutely.
And he's out of danger anyway.
You should be able to lodge a report when you first walk into somewhere. If you walk into a police station and say, look, I've been sexually assaulted, you should be able to make a report and you should be able to...
Yeah, I completely agree with you. So what they basically were saying, he wasn't eligible to make a report unless they called police out to assess the scene? Or?
Well, from the reports, the police were saying that there's, Geelong Police Station isn't a fictional police station like Blue Heelers. You can't expect the police to run out of the station to chase the offenders. It's just not how it works.
You know what I'd like to see? If like a battered housewife with perhaps a bleeding nose or a really broken, you know, walked in there really vulnerable, sobbing. I'd like to see if, you know, as let's say that they're men, they're chief police who are male. I'd like to see their reaction and their handling of that. You know, I hate to say it, but I think that Geelong is an isolated area and there could be perhaps an influence of a homophobic.
Well, that's one thing that the young man said. He
obviously,
said, if
yeah.
I had been a woman or a male adolescent who didn't seem homosexual, I would have got a very different response from the police.
Imagine a young teenage girl, you know, she's very vulnerable. She'd been maybe sexually assaulted or proclaiming that happened. You know, I'd be really interesting to see if the table turned.
Yeah, it's definitely a broad... definition of help there. We've got a couple more articles to go. It is 10 minutes to 8, so we are powering through this episode.
There's just a lot to talk about, Dilly. There's a lot going on in the news.
There is. There most
From celebrities
is.
To coppers in Geelong.
A story that definitely... I was reading this on Same Same today. Melbourne's has been hit with tickets.
Wow.
With stickers saying
AIDS.
Gay with AIDS. And definitely the vitriol in them is quite high. The stickers have been spotted by members of our community, which have been reported to Same Same with expressions of anger at the company Uncle Rico fashion brand, who are producing the stickers as part of an Uncle's F Up Your Amigo pack. The sticker sheet is available from the company's website. It also includes one saying honk for butt sex.
Oh my God. Well, are they selling these stickers, obviously trying to raise funds to support funding for AIDS research, or is this to absolutely make a mockery?
It's to make a mockery. It's definitely...
So it's basically like sort of... Like absolutely insulting them. Like,
yeah, there was a reaction that's been uploaded to Same Same's website. It says, and there is a bit of a language warning. How disgusting and offensive are you? How insulting is this to any gay person or someone with HIV/AIDS? Effing despicable, you low life.
I'm glad you said effing despicable, because in my head I'm thinking, I bet we've got to say that for joy. That this is unbelievable. What country? Where Melbourne based a company are printing this? I don't consider Melbourne a homophobic city. I actually think that we're a lot more forward-thinking in Australia compared to perhaps the Northern Territory or Queensland. This is shocking.
Yeah, and look, the company staff appear not to be taking any concerns about the stickers seriously. They responded to angry comments on the Facebook page, and staff are typed saying some stats about HIV rates among gay people, then claimed, "We actually have a gay male working with us, and he was more than fine with the stickers. Homophobia is barely a problem anymore. The younger generation are very open about it."
Perhaps, you know what, perhaps they thought it was a bit of a joke, or perhaps the way it was communicated to them when they were given the request to print them, maybe it wasn't, maybe this has been misconstrued or misunderstood.
Maybe, but
it's still inappropriate.
Absolutely.
Completely. This is completely unacceptable.
Like, when you wouldn't, how far would they have gone if they were making slurs against the Indigenous community, or slurs against the Arabic community, or anyone that didn't...
Any minority. Or
yeah.
Any, yeah, yeah.
Even if they're making slurs against, I guess, like the white Australian area as well.
And I mean, HIV, that for some, it's a terminal illness. And for others, it's obviously a chronic long-term condition, lifelong condition. It's a serious topic. It's a really personal thing, and it's really devastating. There is no way that you should be putting stickers on cars for this sort of thing. It's ridiculous.
We have got some texts in, one saying people should be able to sue redneck idiots. It does damage to our cultured and civic society. Thank you for messaging that in. Another one saying creepy far-right conservatives. The Greek parliament has jailed the neo-Nazi political MPs who have extreme homophobic ideas. Why can't that occur here? Standards are slipping.
I agree with you there. Wow, the Greek parliament. Well, let's face it, the Greeks all the way back sort of BC were they were homosexual or bisexual.
Yeah,
I know.
Absolutely.
They used to have massive marble like bathing houses or bathing houses where that stuff, sexual activity, would go on very freely.
Totally. Look at the Spartans.
In between all the sexes around.
And we've got one final article for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The soccer body signs on to fight discrimination. And this comes from the LGBTI soccer tournament. Pride Football Australia has been backed by Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission and State Soccer Body Football Federation Victoria in a show of support for eradicating homophobia in the sport.
This is such a fantastic thing, because I know in AFL they've made some steps, particularly this year with Collingwood and Eddie Maguire teaming up with the Joy 94.9 crew at a match at the MCG, and that was all live to air, and he was expressing his absolute support for the community. This is really fantastic, because now soccer is following the lead of AFL, and I think if we can get more GLBTI recognition within stereotypically male-driven sort of sporting cultures in Australia, that really will break down stigmas.
I think so too. We're definitely moving in the right direction. Hey, stick around, because we're almost out of time, but we've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
It's Generation Next here. You're listening to Dylan and Caitlin. Caitlin, we're out of here.
I know, we're out of here. And I think I need to get to bed. I said to Dylan, I've been all over the place today. One of those days where you just can't catch your brain. Like, there's just too much going on. It's all spilling out. And I don't know where I am or where I need to be.
I think it's a disorientation from the induction of the daylight savings.
Yeah, that's really thrown me. But looking at you tonight, Dylan, you're a picture of bloody health. And you're looking absolute treat. P.S. Just quickly, how is the queer thing?
Queer young thing happening?
Yeah, queer young thing.
Tonight we're talking about, it's going great. Tonight we're talking about living in remote environments and the inclusion for the GLBTI young people community.
It's a great topic, Dylan. Keep up the good work.
You'll be watching, you can watch that at 10 o'clock tonight on Channel 31, Digital 44. Stick around because we've got Worldwide Wave coming up right after this. See you next week.
Thank you to all our gorgeous listeners and a fan base. If we have one, Generation Next wouldn't be the same without you. So thanks for your support all year round.
Download this podcast or I will find you.
Now I sound like a douche.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.